Things we experience for the first time can be pretty frightening to us. Just take a moment and think back to a few firsts in your life. I can remember my first basketball game when I was in seventh grade. We had a home game at Clark Pleasant Junior High, and Mr. Meek was my coach. And the stands were pretty full because stands are always full to watch Indiana basketball at any level. I'd never played in front of that many people. I'd never worn a real jersey. I'd never played with real referees. I'd never played against a team from another school, and these guys seemed like giants. And I was scared to death. And all I remember from that game is this. I stole the ball from a guy in his front court, and I took off dribbling toward the basket as fast as I could possibly go, and there was no one around. I mean, it was a wide-open layup. My heart was beating out of my chest. I was going so fast that the layup hit the backboard and bounced clear to nearly half court. It's totally embarrassing. Not a good start, and I think it scarred me because I never was much of a shooter after that. I remember my first day of driver's ed. It was the same teacher, Coach Meek, Mr. Meek. The other three students beside myself in the car were Randy Good, Tim Miller, and Lisa Owen. Lisa, who was eventually our valedictorian when we graduated. I know all three of us boys were scared to death, but we tried to really be cool about it, acting like we've been driving all our lives and like we knew all about cars. And whatever fear level we had going in escalated every time Lisa's turn came up to drive. And we could even see the fear in Mr. Meek's eyes when that would happen. So here's the very first day. He says, ladies first. So Lisa climbs into the driver's seat, and Mr. Meek says, well, go ahead and start the car. She didn't know how to start the car. She had no idea. The eventual valedictorian of Whiteland Community High School hadn't made the connection between turning a key and hearing a motor start. And by the end of that course, all the boys, we'd driven on the interstate for several miles, and Lisa was barely getting out of the school parking lot. She took out two garbage cans and a mailbox on that journey to learn how to drive. I remember when my parents dropped me off at Western Kentucky University for the first time. They helped me get settled into my room, and they walked back to their car, and they said goodbye, and they drove away. And what I remember very distinctly is being scared to death. I walked up, I rode the elevator back up to my room. I was in the 22nd floor, room 2208, and I sat down on the bed and cried like a baby. I couldn't believe they'd leave me here to fend for myself. I remember being scared to death the first time I ever preached a sermon. I was in college, and this small church was somewhere out in one of the counties surrounding, somewhere out in Bowling Greens, probably 60 or so people were there that morning. I was so afraid of running out of things to say. I had about 20 points in that lesson. I can't imagine how painful that must have been to listen to. But the older ladies, you know, they were real sweet. They told me, that's a really good sermon. They paid me $30, which was pretty exciting. I remember the first time my dad paid attention to someone that I was dating. When I brought Mary home to meet Mom and Dad, for the very first time, he said to me in the driveway right before we headed back to Western, he said, don't let this one get away. That was undoubtedly the best advice he ever gave me. I can remember being overwhelmed the first time we bought a house, wondering how in the world a $70,000 house would end up costing $250,000 by the end of the mortgage. And I remember the first time we were left alone with Zach, our oldest, after his birth. We came home from the hospital. One set of grandparents came in for a little while. Then they switched, and another set of grandparents were there for a while. And then all of a sudden, they left abruptly. And Zach stuck around. And no grandparents took him. And the hospital wouldn't take him back. And Mary and I looked at each other with the same thought. Don't leave us. We don't know what we're doing. Nearly every first-time experience in my life has been accompanied with fear. Facing the unknown is frightening, whether it's riding a bike or going to college or heading to your first job or even following Jesus in new ways or in new places. So I want us to take a look at Luke 5 this morning, and I want to show you how Peter faced fear in a first-time situation. Peter has known Jesus for about a year. He has seen and heard and experienced some amazing things in those months hanging around Jesus, but he wasn't completely sold out to Jesus' ideas just yet. This day on the lake is a crucial event. It's where the light comes on in Peter's head. It's where we see him really start to get it. This event in Luke 5 begins by mentioning that Jesus was doing some teaching out on the shore, but Luke doesn't tell us a thing about what Jesus said. Not a single word about the principles Jesus taught that day. We don't know if he had 3 points in a prayer or if he made an acronym out of the word fishes, or he may have had 5 alliterative truths to tackle. We know nothing about what he said. However, we do know what happened after he finished teaching. And what happened afterward, those fishermen would never forget. I guess it's the difference between hearing a sermon and seeing one. The first one we often forget, but the second sticks with us for a lifetime. When Jesus finishes his sermon, he told Peter to head back out on the lake and drop down the nets. And Peter wasn't too excited about that at all. Right here, Peter comes about as close to saying no to Jesus as he possibly could. You know, back in the old days, when boys were the ones who typically asked out the girls, us guys understood about creative ways to say no because the girls were good at it. You finally muster up the courage to ask a girl out for the first time, and you're scared to death, and this is what you hear. See if any of these rejection lines sound familiar. I'm kind of interested in someone else. Or we're just too good of what? Friends. I wouldn't want to ruin our... See, the guys, they're answering this. The women aren't saying anything. If a girl is really sharp, she might pull out the spiritual rejection. I just feel like God wants me to be single right now. But you notice the very next week, God changed his mind for that girl. So, you know, all of us guys, we know if the response begins with, if you're a great guy, you might as well head for the door. Great guys, sweet guys, nice guys, they always get rejected. Us guys understand what Jesus heard Peter say without saying it. Eventually, Peter's valid reasons for not going out to fish again turned into a feeble argument, more like an, if you say so. But you know, I'm not so sure Jesus isn't overjoyed at times with a feeble, hesitant, unenthusiastic, if you say so. He knows that's about the best we can offer sometimes. And he knows that's much better than an outright no, or even better than some of the lame excuses we give because we're afraid to tell him no straight up. So as Peter's letting down the nets, the freshly cleaned, straightened, untangled nets, back into the water, his head is down, he looks at John, he rolls his eyes, and then he looks toward James, and right before he shakes his head in disgust, he feels this little tug on the nets. And then a huge jerk that jump starts the heart of any hardcore fisherman. A couple of hours ago, there were no fish in this lake, but now it seems like every fish that's ever lived in this lake wants in Peter's nets. This is the kind of catch legends are made of, and they haul in so many fish, their boats start to take on water. Check out verse 8. It took a while to sink in, but here's what we read. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, let's stop right there. What had happened? Was it the sermon? Was it the haul of fish? Was it Jesus' supernatural fish calling techniques? Just what did Peter realize? Read on. When Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." What a quantum leap from a legendary haul of fish to a life-changing revelation. Did you catch what Peter realized? Peter asked for what he really doesn't want. He asked Jesus to leave. Like the fish thrashing around in his net, Peter wants to get away from the one who's pulling him in. And whatever it is that Peter realizes, it must be terrifying to him. Jesus has just revealed something for the first time to Peter through this event. Peter drops to his knees and he asks Jesus to leave. And Jesus' response to Peter is what? In verse 10, don't be afraid. Peter, don't be afraid. And Peter hears those words at other key moments in his experience with Jesus. This isn't the only time. When he calms the storm in Mark 4, Jesus says, don't be afraid. When he walks on water in Mark 6, Jesus says, don't be afraid. When he glows like the sun in Matthew 17, Jesus says, don't be afraid. And when he is raised from the dead in Matthew 28, Jesus says, don't be afraid. In each of these events, when the truth is uncovered, when Peter and some of the other disciples realize what's really going on for the first time, when Peter realizes that he is a seasoned sinner and he's in the presence of an unblemished Lord of the universe, it absolutely wipes him out. With this realization in his heart, Peter immediately falls at Jesus' knees and begs Jesus to leave him alone. One moment, he's reluctantly fishing with a friend. The next moment, he's face down in the very presence of God. It's the first time he grasps this realization. It's more than he asked for, and it scares him to death. For the first time, he has become aware of his sinfulness. For the first time, he's become aware of this awesome privilege he's been given to be around Jesus. For the first time, he's become aware of the grace Jesus must possess to make room for Peter to be in his life. Here's a quote from a book by Michael Card called The Fragile Stone. I like this quote. Simon knew that what we need to learn now, what we deserve, is only death and separation from God and all his goodness. If we, for one blink, could step back and glimpse the awesome generosity of the one who should, by all rights, destroy us, we would join Simon on our knees with the same confession on our trembling lips. What Peter had longed for all of his life is finally here, and he's scared to death. Check out the last sentence in verse 11. As soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Before this day on the lake, we read about this guy who followed Jesus and that guy who put his faith in him, but this is the beginning of something new. For the first time, Peter, James, John, probably Andrew, too, they walked away from most of what was familiar. They walked away from the stability of their fishing business, the comfort of their hometown, the convenience of routine, the safety of predictability. They left all that behind and followed Jesus. I'm surprised we don't read about Jesus piping in after verse 11 one more time with his familiar words, don't be afraid. This decision on their part was without a doubt terrifying. And if each of us was honest, we'd eventually admit the same thing. To follow Jesus, to leave most everything behind is absolutely terrifying. And if each of us were totally honest, we'd have to admit that we have wished Jesus would go away. He's more than we can deal with, and we're so much less than he deserves. You know, classes start at UK in about 6 weeks from now, and some of you in here are going to go to college for the first time, and you're scared about that. What if you don't make any friends? What if you can't cut it academically? Some of you are here this morning and maybe graduating after this coming year, and you're scared. What if you can't find someone to hire you? Or what if you do? That's pretty scary too. Others of us are scared for different reasons. You're out of school, you've got a job, you have a life, but it's just you so far, and you're scared. What if you never meet someone to spend your life with? Some of you are experiencing parenting for the first time. That's pretty scary. What do you do with this totally depraved, crying, hungry, sometimes smelly, yet precious little human who's invaded your home? Some of you are taking your child to college in a few weeks, and you're scared. Will they choose good friends? Will they make wise decisions? Will they go to class? Will they ever call you? They'll call you when they run out of money, but other than that, you don't know. Some of you are out of work, and you're scared. Will anyone ever give you a chance? How will your mortgage get paid this month? Some of you are really tired of your job, and that scares you. Is this going to be what your work life is going to be like? Is this the best of what your career is going to offer? Some of you have been hovering around retirement, and you're scared. For 30-plus years, you've known how your day will be spent, and you've known what success is, and you've experienced rewards. Where does the affirmation come from now? Where does the confirmation come from that your life will count for something? Oftentimes, when we have first-time experiences, fear lingers nearby, And just like Peter, we're afraid. What you and I need to hear this morning is that common refrain Peter heard from Jesus. Three simple words. Don't be afraid. We stand on the brink of these terrifying unknowns to let go of the familiar, to release the convenient, to break free from our routine, to open ourselves up, to make new friends, to try a different church. It's just all so frightening. But then we feel this nudge from someone next to us and we hear these words, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let go of the nets and give me a chance. I've got some awesome plans for you. On the lake in this day in Peter's life, he begins to learn what it means to become partners with Jesus. A new kind of fishing lies ahead for him. And perhaps here we are on the lake with new experiences right on the shore of our lives. The waves push us a little closer to that shore every moment. And with every movement of the wave, our heart gets a little more fearful. I want you to hear Jesus' words this morning. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of a new environment. Don't be afraid of making new friends. Don't be afraid of a new church. Don't be afraid of leaving some of your favorite stuff behind. Don't be afraid of a new season in life. But mostly, Jesus says, don't be afraid to follow me. Jesus told Peter one day on a lake that from now on he'll be fishing for men and women. But as Peter dropped his nets to follow, he's the one who got caught. And you're the one Jesus wants to catch. So when following Jesus becomes frightening, he says, don't be afraid. If you think I'm good at filling nets with fish, wait till you see what I can do with filling your heart and soul with purpose and power. I will make you whole. That's his invitation to each one of us. Don't be afraid. Just follow me. Whether you say yes with enthusiasm and confidence or whether your response with a hesitant, if you say so, Jesus will take you wherever you are and travel with you on this life-changing adventure. So drop your nets and follow him. Let's stand together and sing.